Well, as Pastor Jason said, there's a lot that could be said about fasting, but I just really feel to come from a particular angle this morning. So you ready? Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for your blessing. Thank you, Lord, that for each one of us in the sound of my voice this morning, you are lovingly drawing them forward. You are lovingly drawing them into intimacy with you. You are lovingly moving circumstances, shifting and arranging the circumstances of their life to draw them into intimacy with you. So God, we thank you for that. We honestly, genuinely thank you that you don't just leave us. You don't just let us wallow. You don't just let us struggle. But you draw us into that place of your presence. And Lord, I just thank you that over this next week, you would draw us and build us, and you would cause us to be able to push and to be able to see circumstances change. Lord, cause us to be able to see breakthroughs take place, revelations come. Lord, I pray that each one of us would have a testimony of your goodness and your greatness through the power of prayer and fasting in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Pastor Jason mentioned, this Thursday starts another season of prayer and fasting. And it doesn't seem that long ago, does it, that we were, that we were talking about prayer and fasting last time. And, you know, we've just finished out an incredible series on prayer and praying the Lord's Prayer out of Matthew 6. And I just felt this morning that Matthew 6 is the place to start. To one, finish out this series, but also launch us into a new season in prayer and fasting. Last August, I preached a message on prayer and fasting that I really believe is a lot of the nuts and bolts of fasting, a lot of the intricacies of fasting. In fact, I'd put it this way, that it was the why, what, and the how of fasting. So that's going to be put up on Telegram. This what century am I living in? It's going to be put on Telegram this week, and I'd encourage you, if you're embarking on a season of fasting with us, listen to it because it will help you. It shares a lot that I'm not going to share this morning. Testimonies, what to do, how to go about it, how to prepare yourself. So I'd encourage you, please listen to that this week if you're heading off on this season of fasting with us. But fasting has been a discipline that has been an amazing source of power in my own life. In fact, since starting my journey, and my wife and I got saved on the same day, so I'll talk as a one flesh team, or our journey, I would say that fasting has been the most amazing source of breakthrough and power in my life over and above pretty much anything else. We've seen the most incredible breakthroughs through fasting. So fasting is a discipline that has been an incredible value. And both Denise and I have been specifically called by God on separate occasions to fast for breakthrough for particular things. God called me to fast, to be released from the power of my flesh, taught me how to walk in the Spirit. And Denise was called to fast to break free from an illness that had held a bondage for many years. And both of those breakthroughs changed our lives in significant manner. And each time it was under direction of the Holy Spirit specifically to fast. So I tell you this for this reason, is there's breakthroughs that are available that maybe you need in your life, and the person who you work with and your families and your friends needs in their lives, that are only available through prayer and fasting. Jesus said it. He said that only some or some of these things can only be released by prayer and fasting. And fasting is one of the three, I've got three fingers up, I just had to count, three primary transformational power gifts to the church identified in Matthew 6. But unfortunately, in many cases, which, you know, I find quite staggering, that fasting has been heavily neglected in the Western church. You know, fasting is not something that we've been taught a lot about or we practice a lot about in the Western church. And it's one of the most primary gifts that Jesus has released to the church for breakthrough. See, fasting is the teeth of the church. And if the devil can remove those teeth, our power against him is considerably minimized. Fasting purifies my motive. It strengthens my belief and it exercises my faith. So we're going to quickly just have a look at motive. Are we prepared to navigate some discomfort for the kingdom of God, for advancement, for breakthrough and intimacy with God? Are we prepared for some discomfort as the church to go forward in his purposes? And you know what the amazing thing about this is you choose. This is your choice. This is your opportunity to do something for God. How often do we have the opportunity, or what can we actually give to God? Well, this is our opportunity to take a portion of our lives and release it back to him. Does your love for the kingdom of God motivate you to push? You know, we've been looking at Matthew 6, like I said, and we've been focusing on the Lord's Prayer. But Matthew 6, in the first part of Matthew 6, it focuses on these three transformational areas of our Christian life. I call them the three when-yous: giving, praying, fasting. And there seems to be a common theme. And primarily it seems to be addressing motive. But with that addressing of motive, there is a powerful invitation for you to enter the secret place. So let's look. This is Matthew 6:1, speaking about giving. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will himself reward you openly. Now that sounds like a warning, but in that there's also an invitation into a realm of giving, into a realm of releasing that happens between you and God. It's personal. It has nothing to do with anyone else. It's motivated by Him and His Spirit, and it's directed by you and your choice to give, but it happens out of the secret place. It's a place of intimacy that's shared by you and God. How about prayer? This is verse 5. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corner of the street, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in the secret place will reward you openly. And at first glance, that looks like a warning. And we all need to check our motives with giving. We all need to check our motives with prayer. But what we see here underlying that is an invitation to a personal relationship. And it's an invitation to personal interaction with God that takes place in the secret place. It's an unseen activity. So the question would be, is unseen activity, some discomfort, some effort in the secret place, our priority? Do we believe in the power of the secret place? Fasting. Verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that may appear to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. That is the promise. The promise this morning is that if you will give with the right motive, if you will pray with the right motive, if you will fast with the right motive, He will reward you far above whatever you could possibly imagine. Not the reward with the thanks of man, but the reward and the thanks of our Heavenly Father, who can release every blessing and every breakthrough and transform every situation that you might be facing. The secret place is the X-ray that reveals my true nature or my true motive. And that's where breakthrough takes place. So we have an opportunity this Thursday to go before God with prayer and with fasting, and to push in to the secret place at His invitation. Fasting purifies motive, strengthens my belief, and exercises my faith. Let's have a look at belief. Do we trust the promise of God in Scripture the way that we say we do? Let's have a little look at Isaiah 58, verse 6. It says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. This is the way. This is the vehicle. This is the opportunity you have to move in God with His chosen vehicle, with His chosen way to be able to release those things. You know, if I chose a fast, it would probably be short, it would be convenient, and it would have instant results. But the fast that God has chosen is birthed out of the secret place. It's not done with personal motive or personal intention, but it's out of the secret place. And in that, we will see a breakthrough of the bonds of wickedness. We will see the undoing of heavy burdens. We will see the oppressed go free, and that it will break every yoke. I have seen this. I have personal testimony of seeing these things take place when we are prepared to enter into that secret place of sacrifice to see these things broken over people's lives. God's chosen the fast that confronts wickedness in our own lives, that lifts heavy burdens, that sets captives free, and that breaks every yoke of bondage. So it begs the question, do I believe God's design for fasting is worth some effort and discomfort? Do I trust the promise more than my feelings? You know, we've just had a situation where, well, we're in a situation where Denise is quite unwell. And she's been struggling with, for months now, with an ailment that has pretty much put her out of life's picture. There's very little things she's been able to do. She hasn't been able to do a lot of the family stuff we normally do. She hasn't been able to come to church. She hasn't been able to do a lot of those things. So because of our past experience and the way that God totally healed Denise from an ailment that she'd had for years through 40 days of prayer and fasting, the obvious thing for her to do was re-embark on a season of 40 days of prayer and fasting. And you know what? In the last few months, she's done that. And we fasted and we've prayed. But she still hasn't been healed. And I was a little annoyed at God and a bit frustrated. I'm going, God, she's fasted for 40 days and you still haven't healed her. And God spoke to me and said, it's not about a number. It's about you believing and trusting. So this fast, coming this Thursday, I'm going to be praying, and I hope you'll join me, to pray for Denise's breakthrough. Because it's about consistency. It's about continuing to believe. It's not about going, well, God, I did this and stamped my feet. I've done 40 days. No, it's about believing God in what He's told us to believe. Fasting has a direct effect on your struggle between the outward man and the inward man. Now, I spoke a little about this last time, and I'd encourage you to listen to that. But fasting is an opportunity for you to be able to step out of restrain the flesh to step into the things of the Spirit. We have an invitation in Matthew 6 to go into the secret place, leaving everything outside, and come into that place of prayer and fasting to see breakthrough in Him. Remember, fasting purifies my motive, it strengthens my belief, and it exercises my faith. See, so much of the Christian life is carried out in faith. And fasting is a great example of faith. You are personally believing that God is doing something powerful, even though everything in the natural is telling you this is crazy. Have you ever experienced that with fasting, where your body is crying out to you going, this is crazy, why am I doing this? This is a ridiculous thing to do. But it takes faith to be able to persist to see that breakthrough. You know, it's like the other spiritual discipline, which is sadly lacking in the church, and that's praying in the Spirit. You know, how many of you know that praying in the Spirit is an incredibly powerful tool to see breakthrough in your lives, to see things shift, to see things move that would be persistent in our lives? But praying in the Spirit is something that takes faith, because immediately we don't see any outcome for our praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit takes faith. And fasting very much happens in the unseen. This is 2 Corinthians 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, fasting has eternal consequences. It moves the unseen. But faith is required to push through. And this is where fasting becomes an act of faith in the unseen. So fasting purifies your motive, strengthens my belief, and exercises my faith. It's a great opportunity to be able to watch the outward and the inward man interact, as that scripture says. You will sense a battle. So on Thursday, when you start to fast, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself for the fact there will be a battle between the inward man and the flesh. So be ready for it. Before we fast, make sure you pray and say, God, help me with this battle. Help me to overcome. Because it is a battle. It's a battle of the flesh. Anticipate having your spirit having control over your flesh. So practice self-control. Learn to practice self-control. You see, the outward, the flesh, loves these things: to be seen, honoured, position, importance, possession, accumulating things, the lust of the eyes, food, sensation, smell, touch. But the inward loves God, eternal endeavours, things that will live on eternally, and people. You know, I had a revelation the other day, I pulled myself up doing this. I've decided that no longer am I going to say that I love my house or I love my car or I love my boat or I love any other material thing. Because I believe that God has shown me that love is for people. Love is for Him. Love is not for things. And I shouldn't love anything more than I love people. But you know, my flesh loves those things. My flesh wants those things. But my spirit, my inward man, needs to be sanctified and set apart to love people and to love God. That's a revelation of the inward man. And remember, it's the inward man that will support you through this time of fasting, will lead you through this time of fasting. See, Galatians 6 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So prior to fasting, I think we need to probably step back and revision who we are. You are a body, you are a soul, and that you are a spirit. And before we got saved, our soul, our mind, our will and emotions was guided and controlled by the dictates of the body or the flesh. I feel this, I feel that, I need this, I want that. When we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and regenerates our natural spirit, the spirit of man. So that your spirit, that's the part that lives eternally, the part that never grows old, that is living temporarily in a body of flesh. And that body has been gifted to you for this season of life on earth by God. So as an act of thanks and worship, look after it well. I'm not saying neglect your body. Look after it well. So I believe that the transformation of the Christian is this, is moving from where the soul, the mind, the will and emotions is guided or controlled by the dictates of the flesh to where our soul, our mind and will and emotions lives under the direction of our regenerated spirit empowered by the Holy Spirit. And fasting is a great test of who's in charge. Look at it this way. Imagine your life is a car. Before Christ, the flesh was driving. The soul was in the passenger seat saying, "Yes, let's go there." And the spirit was locked in the boot. But when you got born again, Jesus put your spirit and soul in the driver's seat. But right alongside you is the Holy Spirit, your navigator, your friend, your companion. And the flesh should be in the back seat with the seatbelt on. And in my case, should have a child restraint on. Just coming along for the ride. See, the flesh is just the vehicle. But as you'll notice in fasting, that the vehicle tries to tell you what you should be doing and where you should be going and how what you should be eating and what you shouldn't be eating. The flesh is not the driver. In fasting, we should shift this around and make sure that you, your soul and your spirit sits in the driver's seat with permanent guidance from the Holy Spirit. And all your flesh is doing is restrained in the back seat. You know, as we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, it's been such a blessing to me, that time and that season. It says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Well, fasting says, "Not my will, not my appetite, but yours be done." says, give us this day our daily bread. But fasting says, Lord, I'm more hungry for the bread of life than for physical bread. The Lord's Prayer says, deliver us from evil. And fasting engages in spiritual warfare and breakthrough, agreeing with Isaiah 58, loose the bonds of wickedness, break every yoke. In Matthew 6, we see an invitation to come into that secret place, to come into that place of intimacy with Him. That's where we grow. That's where things change. That's where the breakthroughs of Isaiah 58 takes place. Not in the natural realm, not in the outer court, but in the secret place. And we see in that an incredible invitation to say, check your motives, but come, I'm ready for you. I'm ready for you to do business with me in that secret place. And out of that, I'm not going to reward you according to what a fleshly reward would be. I'm going to reward you with eternal rewards, with breakthrough and deliverance and things that last eternal, not that things are temporal. It's the greatest invitation that exists, obtained through intimacy with Him in the secret place, through giving, praying, and fasting. You know, our Christian lives aren't evaluated by what we do in public. They're evaluated by what we do in secret, in the secret place. I'm just going to give you a few practicals that might help you over this season, but I would encourage you to listen to the message that's online. Don't forget, fasting is a learned practice. It's something that you start with and you continue to grow in, and God blesses you in, and He'll show you things and He'll release things in that to you. I can honestly say that I need fasting. I need fasting to stay focused. I need fasting to stay balanced. I need fasting to put my flesh in its place. Start small and build up. You know, 1 year. We'll fast again later in the year, okay? So push a little harder than you did last fast. So if you fasted for 8 hours last time, go for a whole day. Try and see if you can fast for a whole day. And if you can fast for a day, fast for two or three. And if you can fast for two or three, let's see if you can fast for the whole time, just liquids. But be realistic about what you challenge yourself with. You know, it's a growing thing. It's a practice thing. You know, you'll get familiar with how it feels, and it will become more comfortable and natural to you. It never becomes easy, but it always is fruitful. Pray and choose what you're going to do. Choose a fasting plan before you start fasting, because every time your flesh will minimize what you've planned to do. So make a plan. Get before God and make a plan and choose those things. Decide prior to fasting. God will lead you. Have a fasting purpose. Now, Pastor Jason is going to send out on Telegram a fasting purpose. And I believe that it's always good when fasting to have a purpose, so that we can push and we can pray in that manner. So follow the fasting purpose. You know, many times in Scripture, you'll see that groups of people are called by a leader or an individual to come together and fast. And this is a powerful thing. So don't feel that because Pastor Jason has asked us to fast or become involved in this fast, that's a secondary thing to God showing you, God leading you. God is leading us in this fast. God is leading us through our pastor. He's leading us in the direction that we're meant to go. So never feel like a corporately called fast is secondary to anything else. So let's fast together. Now, I believe that fasting should be food. I've been in churches before that they fasted TV or sports or social media or something like that. But listen, we should have control over those things anyway. We shouldn't be giving God what we should be controlling anyway. You know, he's designed us with an appetite to eat. He's designed us with our primary basic need to eat. And we can lay that before him and we can give that to him as an offering and a sacrifice. But I just don't think we should be bringing him TV, sports and social media. Remember, there is a difference between things we like and things we need. Fasting food directly challenges that most important part. Okay, now I'd like you to be wise, consider health issues. If you're taking medication, don't just not take the medication. If you need to eat while taking that medication, just do fasting thoughtfully and wisely. And if necessary, seek advice from a medical practitioner. What we have before us today is an invitation. An invitation to see our lives changed, our church lives changed, the people around us' lives changed, our city's lives changed. And I believe if the church could get fasting, if the church could really get active in fasting and we would become physically fit for fasting, then I believe we would see breakthroughs and changes taking place that we haven't seen in many years. Because fasting is a significantly powerful tool. If Jesus thought it was appropriate to spend all that time in Matthew 6 talking about giving and praying and fasting, these are three things that we need to be doing regularly and well. So we're moving into a season where you have the opportunity to put down the flesh and to stretch your spiritual legs. Just like the music team to come and join me if they could please. Don't miss an opportunity of God inviting you into the secret place.